You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I need so desperately to say, get out of my life, Monday. Be gone with you. Get thee behind me. Sayonara. Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. Do people actually say that anymore? I don't know if they do or not. I just know that this Monday kicked my rear end. Gosh, why is it that all Hades breaks loose on a Monday? Seems like every week. Or maybe it just catches us off guard. Okay, so that's the deal. It only comes around once a week, and now it's done. Well, it will be soon. I'm ready to say goodbye, Manic Monday. I wish I never knew ye. What's all this with all these weird phrases of mine? Hello to you. Welcome inside After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. I know a good portion of the United States was baking on Monday, either baking in an oven with humidity that was turned way up, or even if you didn't have the humidity, you were stuck in near record high temperatures. So I hope that you found some air condition. I hope that your AC at home and your car were working. I remember the days when I used to live in Oklahoma and I had one of my very first cars, which was a Nissan Sentra with no AC. Vinyl seats and no AC. And I've told this story before. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but there was one summer where a friend and I met near Little Rock, Arkansas, not that far from Little Rock, to go camping in the Arkansas mountains. And it happened to be one of the hottest weekends of the year in Oklahoma. So on the Sunday that I drove home from camping, it was 108 degrees. I had no AC in my Nissan Sentra for an 8-hour drive. So I stopped at a rest area, put on my bathing suit, and drove the rest of the way like that because I couldn't, it was too hot to breathe. And you can't close the windows when you're driving down the highway and it's 108 degrees with no AC because you might suffocate in your vehicle. Thank heavens I did not have Penny then because we would have been going nowhere quickly. The only option I had was to peel off layers, wear the bathing suit, and drive with the windows open. 8 hours at 100 plus degree temperatures. Soon after that, I got a vehicle with air condition and a hand-me-down. I went from Nissan Sentra to Plymouth Reliant. You guys remember the K cars? My mom gave me her old Plymouth Reliant. And for the longest time, all I had was hand-me-downs because I couldn't really afford to buy a new car. But at least the next hand-me-down had air condition. Holy cannoli. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I've turned soft since then because I could not drive around in a car with no air condition. Now I just couldn't do it. I've turned into a big baby when it comes to the humidity. That was the only thing about Oklahoma. At least it wasn't humid. It just happened to be it wasn't a sauna. It was more like an oven, I guess. So those of you who live in the Midwest, in the plains, in parts of the Northeast and the East Coast, you know exactly what kind of heat I am talking about. But Monday is almost done. It's one of those fun things that we have going into a Twitter Tuesday. And I generally try to come up with a question that I think will appeal to as many people as possible. Sometimes it's sporty. Sometimes it's not sporty. And I happened to see this column over the weekend, maybe. I don't remember exactly what it was in the last few days, that indicates that Major League Baseball attendance is down nearly 7% from this time last year. So we're not quite halfway through. We are not to the All-Star break, though you know the All-Star break is not actually the midway point. Teams have played roughly a third of their games. Not quite a third. Getting close, though. 69 games for the Yankees. The Red Sox have played more than that. I'm just kind of looking at the top of the standings. They've played 73 games. So, yeah, you're talking about maybe a third of the way through if we're just kind of estimating. And according to the statistics, baseball attendance is down almost 7% from the same point a year ago. And nerd alert, 8.5% overall. And Commissioner Rob Manfred admits the league is, quote, concerned that there's something to it more than weather. Yeah, because here we are at the time of the year where you're not as concerned about rain. I mean, there's always going to be the potential for rain, but it's not quite the same as it is in the early springtime. And baseball started earlier this year in late March. Now, baseball's got this weird dichotomy going on right now because, believe it or not, MLB is on pace to have a record number of sub 400 teams, sub 400 winning percentage teams, as well as 100 win teams. So in other words, there's a chasm between the haves and the have-nots. There's not a whole lot in the middle. The teams that are maybe going to make some noise, maybe going to surge. You have some really good teams, a bunch of them. We know who they are. I just mentioned Yankees and Red Sox doing battle atop the AL East. Every other team in that division is below 500.
Boston's like the Golden State Warriors now.
In the AL West, you have the Astros and the Mariners, and then another 10 games back to the Angels, who are just barely above 500. The Braves, the Nationals, and the Phillies, believe it or not, doing battle in the NL East. And the Cubs and Brewers atop the NL Central. You've got teams that are still involved. Just there is a weird chasm, a weird separation between haves and have-nots. Now, I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but that's just one note that I saw that the commissioner's a little bit concerned about. So I was thinking about going to baseball games. I really enjoy going to games because I like being in the stands outside, right? So it's one of my favorite sports to attend because it's outdoors. And I like the pace. I like sitting there and just letting the game play out. Now, if I'm at home, I generally am not sitting in front of a baseball game for 3+ hours. Who has that kind of time, really? But I listen to it as I do things around my house or as I get stuff done in the evenings. But I love to go to baseball games. I also really enjoy going to golf tournaments, which is what I did over the weekend with the U.S. Open, because it gives you the option to move around. And that's something that's unique to sporting events. Usually you have a ticket, you sit in one spot, or if you want to walk around the concourse. But with golf tournaments, there's so much freedom and space where you can roam and you can see a lot of different stuff. It's almost like a circus.
Absolute stillness.
There was no absolute stillness. Right now on TV, I'm watching a commercial for nachos and it's making me hungry. Anyway, that's totally not related to either baseball or golf. So as I was thinking about Twitter Tuesday question, I wondered, what sport you like to attend in person the best? I did have this conversation at the U.S. Open with some fans that I happened to meet, and we were talking about how much fun it is to be able to move around and watch whatever you want to watch. It's like going to a buffet, and you can stand in one spot. You can be in a green. You can be in a tee box. You can watch Phil Mickelson. You can watch Dustin Johnson. You can watch Tony Finau. You can watch another player that maybe is your favorite. And you can sit in a grandstand, or you can continue to move with the galleries, whatever it is that floats your boat. Or do you like going to NFL games because of the massive stadiums? Maybe it's college basketball because of a particular atmosphere. Maybe there's one stadium or arena that you like the best. So what sport is your favorite to attend in person? That's going to be our Twitter Tuesday question. So you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and use hashtag Twitter Tuesday. And then our Facebook page, also available for you because we cheat. It's like Twitter Facebook Tuesday, but, you know, I need the alliteration. We're inside the Quicken Loans studios, national mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Maybe your favorite is going to a World Cup game. Maybe you're a fan of that team across the pond. That's the only real phrase I can do that sounds anything close to a British accent, and it's not really that close. I get it. This was a really exciting game. Maybe not supposed to be this close between England and Tunisia, but it was. And it was also Captain Kane's World Cup debut.
And oh, it so nearly went in. It did from Kane. His first goal at a major tournament. Woo! England have liftoff at the World Cup.
The World Cup announcers have such great flair. That's Derek Ray on FS1. So Harry Kane, Captain Kane, because I like that hashtag too. He scores in, I think it was the 11th minute of this game for England in what is his first World Cup game. Now, then you had the English wasting some opportunities. All right, so they could have potentially been up 2 goals, 3 goals, 4 goals. I even heard someone say it should have been 5-0. But it wasn't, because it's not that easy ever. And Tunisia ends up tying the score, and they go into stoppage time. Now, this, in my opinion, would have been disastrous for the English. It certainly isn't the nail in a coffin. It's not one of those deals where they can't recover. We've already talked about Germany losing its first game and some of the soccer powers on the planet, soccer powers in the World Cup. They didn't play well in their opening games or secure a victory, and it's not the end-all to be-all. But England losing to Tunisia would have been like, oh, the United States losing to Trinidad and Tobago. Anyway, so they go into stoppage time, and what do you know? Captain Kane has his moment.
Trippier, and what a chance for Harry Kane, which he takes! There is drama for you! Kane, the captain, provides the inspiration for England.
Oh, yeah. Now, this is awesome. You want to talk about drama. Not only was it in stoppage time, and for those of you who don't know soccer, stoppage time is the time that they add on at the end of a game. So, right, like the clock has already gone 0-0-0, but the officials are keeping a watch. It's a running clock. It never stops. It doesn't stop for injuries. It doesn't stop for yellow cards. It doesn't stop for free kicks and all that jazz. So the clock just keeps running, which means that the officials themselves have to keep track of when play was stopped, and they accumulate the amount of time that play was stopped and then tack that on to the end of the game and call it stoppage time. The funny part is we don't always know how much stoppage time how long stoppage time is going to go. We don't know how much stoppage time has been added. And so it's extra dramatic because you're not exactly sure when the whistle is going to blow, ending the game. So the English get a corner kick. Yeah, if only they would give us a timer that was about to expire. England gets a corner kick in the 91st minute. So again, the official time has already ended. They're into stoppage time. And Harry Maguire got a head on a corner kick for Kane to then put it in the 91st minute. And it just was, not just dramatic, but it was good to the last drop there. Okay, this clock's annoying me. Sorry, could you please turn it off? Thank you. Anyway, Kane drew a lot of attention on the field, of course. And there were opportunities that were missed by the English. Certainly could have been some penalties either way, blah, 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 blah. That's sports. But it set it up for this late goal that was awesome. First time on the World Cup stage for Captain Kane, and he made the most of it as he scores both of those goals. So I know a lot of you were tweeting about his performance and about what the English did in their start, their opener of the World Cup. So that's cool. It would be just as cool if the United States was playing. I need to get over it, but I'm not there yet. Okay, so Twitter Tuesday question already out there. What's your favorite sport to attend in person? Not your favorite sport, your favorite sport to attend in person. And as a bonus, if you want to tack on your favorite arena or your favorite ballpark or your favorite course, whatever it is, you can do that as well. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page. And coming up, the Astros are still winning. And wouldn't you know, we got on Monday night what I think is one of the most exciting plays in sports. So you hear that next. After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more.
You are listening Play It to at the Play. After Hours podcast.
It is one of the most exciting plays in sports. I don't want to give it away, of course, but it is one of those plays that sucks you in, almost gets you on the edge of your seat. You're leaning in, whether it's at the ballpark itself, whether it's watching on TV, because you're not actually sure how it's going to turn out. These have been some really hard luck days, again, for the New York Mets, but at least they had a highlight on Monday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. That highlight, that explosive play, the one that we don't get to see enough for obvious reasons, it came courtesy of 25-year-old Brandon Nimmo.
Number three.
0-2 the count. Now the pitch. Swinging a high fly ball, well hit, right center. On the run, Blackman, the center fielder, he won't get it. It is off the base of the wall, in play. Nimmo's flying. He's going to hit third. The ball's still out in right field. Nimmo trying for it inside the Parker. The ball rolls to the plate, and Nimmo scores standing. An inside the park home run for Brandon Nimmo. Is there anything this kid can't do?
The 2-2 coming. Swing high drive, right center field, taking off at the track. At the wall, this one is going to go all on its own. Outside the Parker to go with the inside the Parker.
Is there anything this kid can't do? Well, not on Monday. It wasn't a manic Monday for Brandon. He goes 4-for-6 with a pair of home runs, one the conventional way and then one inside the Parker. And you hear them both with Howie Rose and Josh Lewin of the Mets Radio Network. Four RBI for Brandon Nimmo as the Mets finally produce a ton of offense. In fact, more offense than what you'd get for them over the course of the week, usually. They beat the Rockies 12-2, and I couldn't help but grin when I heard Brandon's explanation of what he was seeing as he decided to go for it on the inside the Parker.
I thought, well, maybe it's a home run, but then I kind of saw just a white thing hit the fence, and I was like, oh, that's – and so from that point, I just put my head down and ran, and I didn't even know where it went, and all I saw was Sherlock just waving me around, and I heard the crowd getting loud. I was like, I don't know where this ball is, but I'm just going to keep running because I might get it inside the Parkers.
So good. He's like, I had no idea where the ball is. I just kept running, put my head down, and ran. That post-game interview with Brandon Nimmo, courtesy of SNY. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Staying in the NL East, maybe, just maybe, that recent rant, that recent hot take coming from inside the Phillies clubhouse, maybe that was enough to spark the Phillies to be competitive, to get into the mix in the NL East.
Number two.
Now the 2-1 pitch. Swung on, line down the left field line. Ozuna coming over, dives. He didn't get it. It bounds away. Hoskins has scored. Santana coming around third. He's going to score. The ball's still on the warning track, and the Phillies have won it. Aaron Altair has snapped an 0-for-12. Here in the bottom of the 10th inning, he's won it for the Phils.
Hard-fought win right there against a really good team. You know, they came back in the 9th against us. But, you know, we stayed resilient. They went ahead again in the 10th, but we still thought we could win this game. So, you know, it just proves how resilient our team is. And we never give up. We'll always fight.
Aaron Altair with the walk-off two-run double and his post-game comments there on NBC Sports Philadelphia. Remember Jake Arrieta not that long ago calling out his entire team, wanting more accountability, wanting everybody to raise their level of play. And there was a lot of backlash. Some people saying that he shouldn't be speaking publicly, criticizing his teammates publicly. But it appears to have worked. They've now won 3 games in a row. They put themselves into a tie with the Nationals in the NL East. 3.5 games back of the Atlanta Braves, who are setting the pace in that division. Speaking of setting the pace, the World Series champs briefly lost the lead in their own division, the AL West, to the Seattle Mariners, who are 20 games above 500. But man, these Astros, we know what they bring to the table. An immaculate rotation and a lineup that challenges opposing pitchers every single at bat. I mean, these are the same guys that dazzled us last fall, and they are now in some kind of a groove.
Number one.
First pitch to Gurriel, and that is roped through the left side. That's a base hit. Altuve can walk home, and Gurriel with his second RBI single of the night, 4-3 Rays. Romo's 1-1, and Bregman hits it in the left center field, and that's going to get down for a base hit. Gonzalez scores. Stassi scores. Astros win it in the bottom of the ninth. That's 12 in a row. 5-4 the final, and Alex Bregman the hero.
Oh, my goodness. They just take turns coming up with big hits. Yes, Alex Bregman this time delivers the walk-off, and the Astros get the cannon and everything else in the bottom of the ninth as they rally past the Tampa Bay Rays. 12 victories in a row for the World Series champs, and they have a slight lead in that West division. It's now 2 games as they are close to 50 wins on the season. So right now it's the Astros and it's the Red Sox who are tied for most wins in Major League Baseball with 49. So we'll see which team gets number 50 first. And you know what? Bregman is in touch with his sensitive side.
We're having a blast because we're competing every single pitch and having the time of our lives with our best friends in the world. So we're loving it.
Aww. I mean, that does make it more fun when your best friends in the world are the ones that you work with. Well, then you want to show up to the ballpark every day. Plus, you're playing a game for a living. That kind of feels like one of the best jobs in the world that you get to do with your best friends in the world. Let's see. You had who delivered that walk-off hit? Oh, Robert Ford on the Astros radio network. And then afterwards, the post-game comments on AT&T Sportsnet Houston. And then general manager Jeff Lundhau actually got a new contract and a promotion to go along with his current title. He's now president of baseball operations with a deal that extends him to 2023. But it was interesting that he said after he got that contract and was making his statements that, yeah, it was pretty amazing what they accomplished, winning the first World Series championship in Houston franchise history. But that now the work is even harder. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. It becomes more difficult to win again when the expectations are higher, but also when you have the target on your back and you're not catching anybody off guard or taking anybody by surprise. So cool. A couple of walks off and inside the park walks off. I don't think that's a thing. A couple of walk offs. It is still Monday night, so you know these things are going to happen. There goes the perfect show. Anna Brandon Nimmo inside the park home run. Lots of Twitter Tuesday responses coming in already. What is your favorite sport to buy tickets for and watch in person? Brandon even sent us a picture. So if you want to send a picture of your favorite ballpark or arena, you can do that too. Let's see, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then on our Facebook page as well. Thanks so much for tuning in. After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
I'm a little nervous that we haven't heard from Anthony in a while, or Joe from East Baltimore. Where's Ellen? Shoot, was she Framingham, Massachusetts? Ellen is every now and then pops up with some stories about her apartment complex and some of the weird things that people are doing. She likes to keep an eye on everybody else. If you are one of our callers that has been immortalized by our audio and video coordinator, Isaac, well then, we love to hear from you anytime. You never know when you might hear yourself. It's why you can't ever change the channel during After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. And a lot of you are weighing in with our Twitter Tuesday question. What is your favorite sport to watch in person? And if you want to, as a bonus, tell us what stadium or what ballpark, what arena you like to go to with that favorite sport. Well, that's cool as well. So again, A-Law Radio Plus on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Before I forget, I did tweet about this, and I know Nick tweeted about it as well. You all may have heard me last week or caught it on our YouTube channel when I reacted to the first person account that Nick Boynton wrote in the Players Tribune about his life post-NHL career. And he, I mean, he just laid it all out there. It was really sobering. It was eye-opening. It's not necessarily new because there have been players more now from multiple sports who've opened up and who've shared what it's like for them after competing in a professional sport and taking repeated hits to the head and having more than one concussion. In the case of Nick, he said 20 or 30 concussions over the course of his 11-year playing career. And so last week, I read the column and I reacted to it here on the air. And as I say, some of you listened to it on YouTube. But Nick agreed to come on the show. And he's done a lot of interviews since the Players Tribune column was published. He told me he's a little bit overwhelmed by how much attention he's received and how many requests he's received. But he doesn't want to turn them down. He wants to keep talking. He wants to take advantage of the fact that right now, at least, people are interested. And so I talked to him this afternoon, and it was probably one of the most candid, honest, pointed interviews that I've done about the problems and the disconnects between the players who are suffering the injuries and the leagues themselves who are slow to react. And for those of you who maybe don't care about hockey all that much, or you don't know who Nick Boynton is, think about it with the NFL players. So many of them retire. And I know it's getting better with the NFL, but so many of them retire and then down the road have memory loss, mood swings, depression, anxiety, and the extreme has happened. Former players have taken their own lives. It's happened in the NHL as well, and it has happened with some of Nick's friends, which is why he decided that he was going to open up. And so even if, again, you don't care as much about hockey, think about it big picture. This is not a problem that's unique to hockey. It's also one that the NFL has been slow to react to. In soccer, they're worried about the impact of repeatedly using your head to hit the ball. Basketball is trying to be more careful and trying to set up deterrents for guys using their elbows in the head and the neck area of an opponent. So it's definitely a topic and a subject that leagues recognize they can no longer ignore, except Nick is accusing the NHL of being almost like an ostrich sticking its head in the sand. And so you're not going to want to miss this conversation with Nick Boynton. It's coming up just after the top of the hour. Again, I spoke to him on Monday afternoon because that's what fit his schedule. And there were no holds barred. He answered every single one of my questions. And he spoke personally, but also spoke with the idea that the sport itself is not beyond help. There are ways that this can be fixed. There are ways that these players can get the attention that they need. And so please make sure you stay tuned in after the top of the hour so you don't miss my conversation with Nick. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. If you go to geico.com, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. Let's talk to Richard, who's in Dallas. Welcome to After Hours.
Hi, Amy. How are you tonight?
I'm good. Thank you.
That's great. You know, you talk about the sporting events. Minor league baseball.
Minor league baseball. Okay.
Yeah, minor league. When I was, I lived in Western New York for a period, and I watched the Buffalo Bisons play. And, you know, they would have the concerts at the end of the game. Like I saw the Beach Boys and Gloria Estevan. And that's kind of a date night or a family night. You know, it's fun. There's no betting, and it's summer.
So it wasn't really about the baseball. It was about all the other entertainment.
Well, that too, but the baseball, though, was exciting too. You know what I'm saying? It was fun okay. Because there was no betting. It was no pressure. You know, of course, you're for your team, the Buffalo Bisons. I was for at the time, and so you're there. But you know, it's a summertime. It's less stressful, and you know, the outdoor event. That's what I would call, and I loved it. It's perfect.
So you prefer that over Major League Baseball?
Yeah, because I'm a diehard sports fan, so I my emotions are getting involved in that game. You know what I mean?
Oh.
This is fun for the family, but, you know, there's no betting, there's no nothing. But
how do you know there's no betting?
Well, they could be, but, you know, I'm saying it was more of a pleasant event where you could relax. You didn't have anything invested in it.
All right.
I didn't.
You didn't, right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well. I'm glad. I mean, certainly minor league baseball is all about giving fans the experience. It's less about the baseball for the fans. It's obviously about the baseball for the teams and the players. But it's less about the baseball for the fans. It's more about providing an affordable, fun, entertaining atmosphere so that, you know, fans want to come back.
And you hit that right on the head, Amy. And plus, you never know, in a minor league game, that person you may have seen at that game could become the next. Who knows?
Become the next Mike Trout?
Maybe. Enjoy talking to you, Amy. Have a good night.
Thanks, Richard. You never know when you might be seeing history. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Let's go through some of your tweets. I haven't even opened up Facebook yet. I promise that I will.
Watch everything because you might witness history.
Huh. Where have we heard that voice before? Let's see. Edward says, hashtag Twitter Tuesday. He appreciates outdoor hockey the most. So that's his favorite event to attend in person. That's actually on my bucket list. I haven't yet been to a hockey game at one of the big stadiums outdoors. I think it would be awesome. It looks so cool on TV. The lighting's so different for obvious reasons. But just the atmosphere, the noise, all of that is so different. The depth perception, I liken it a little bit to playing a college basketball game in a football stadium because everything feels different. The game that typically is so compact with the fans right on top of you in a hockey-only arena, well, a hockey or a basketball arena, whatever the case is, it's just so spread out. And like I say, the light and the sounds are completely changed. So, yeah, unique for sure and one that I want to do the stadium series maybe. So thanks, Edward, for that tweet, A-Law Radio. See, John says, my best game to attend is hockey, but I really want to go to Lambeau Field. Me too, actually, John. Matthew says college football. Yeah, depending on the part of the country that you attend your college football game in, it can be incredible to the point where you might not be able to hear. Your ears will be ringing after several hours. I've been to some pretty phenomenal games. When I lived in Oklahoma, I would cover both Oklahoma State and OU. And I remember being at OU Texas games at the state fairgrounds in the Dallas area. I remember being at Bedlam games in Stillwater. Just awesome. That was my indoctrination to college football. I've also been to a couple of stadiums that are now in the SEC, like Texas A&M. I think one of my favorite sporting events of all time to cover in person was the Big 12 championship that was played at Arrowhead Stadium between Oklahoma and Kansas State. So this was a way back. Again, this is very early in my career. And I remember it was so cold. First of all, the stadium was split. Half purple and half crimson and cream. And it was so cold. This was early December. at Arrowhead Stadium that I spent the first half on the sidelines and had to, I was a big baby, I had to go into the press box for the second half because I could not feel my feet. It was so cold at Arrowhead. Anyway, so yeah, college football is fantastic if it's a passionate fan base or an event that people are so excited about.
Like shit through a tin horn, man.
Right. I need to go to a game in T-Town, Tuscaloosa. That'd be incredible.
Right on, baby.
Brandon sends a picture of himself. A selfie. Good for you, Brandon. He sends a picture of himself at AT&T Stadium in
Men
Dallas.
Men who take the most selfies have higher levels of narcissism.
I mean, at least we have a picture to go along with his tweet. He says, the NFL, especially when my Rams come to Dallas so I can go to the game. And that's a pretty amazing picture. I don't know if this is
go
where
Rams.
Brandon was sitting or if he just snuck down there to take the selfie, but it looks like he's just above field level. And I've never been inside Cowboys Stadium, so wow, this picture gets me up close to kind of even see how big those video boards are. They're monstrous. It's like a spaceship. Steve says he prefers the NBA in person. Kevin says, oh, man, choosing between live hockey at the Garden and baseball at Fenway Park is too hard. My head would explode. Well, I mean, we don't want anyone's head to explode over Twitter Tuesday. But thank you for answering. Thomas says baseball. Mike says pro golf, men or women. My conversation with Nick Boynton is coming up next. After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.